Welcome back. 3:49, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. It's Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times. And joining me now for the Robbins Report, the one and only Jim Robbins, Washington Times senior editorial writer. Hello, Jim. How are you?
Hey, Andy. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine. Let's begin with the whole Colorado situation, if you don't mind. Batman won't save you, but a concealed weapon might. That was the editorial. That's pretty accurate in my mind.
Yeah, well, we were addressing the question of gun control that inevitably comes up in tragic situations like this, and the fact that the Cinemark cinema where the shooting took place had a no-gun policy. And it kind of underlies the fact that, you know, the no-gun policy is great for everybody except the people who break it.
Yep.
You know, the shooters are going to disobey something like that, whether it's a law or a policy. They're going to get the guns, and they're going to do these crimes. So saying, oh, if only we could have a world without guns, it's just not feasible.
Yeah. And, you know, it's very interesting because I was reading a story just this morning about an off-duty police officer that happened to be in a church. I don't know if you recall the shooting, but a guy showed up in church. He was going to kill his mother, I believe, or his mother-in-law, and he started shooting, and the cop stood up. Who would think? Cop stood up in church, off-duty, had his revolver, and killed the suspect. Who knows what would have happened had it not been for him?
Oh, yeah, a crowded church with the chaos and bullets flying. I mean, bullets don't always go where they're aimed. So, you know, that shooter could have killed a lot of people. And good for the policeman. I mean, you know, a situation like that is always a really bad one. There are really no good answers in that situation. But if it has to be the criminal or the innocent people, I mean, who's going to go down?
Yep, that's true. All right, one of the other editorials I was checking out was the Olympic silence. Tell us about that a little bit.
Well, there's been a movement to get a moment of silence for the 40-year anniversary of the massacre at the Munich Olympics, where 11 Israeli athletes were killed by Palestinians, and the Olympic Committee has said no. In fact, they reiterated that today, saying no. And a lot of people are upset about this because they, you know, it was one of the most significant events at the Olympics. These were victims of terrorism, and why not honor them? So now there are some people who are saying, you know, let's just have a minute of silence anyway. And, you know, maybe that'll just happen spontaneously. Who knows?
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how that develops. But I agree. That was something that, just talking about it, I can relate back to the evening hearing the news and just seeing what it did, how it rocked the world. Why they wouldn't want to call attention to that again is beyond me, unless they're afraid that it would conjure up some other type of activity.
Well, that activity is being conjured up anyway. There are already reports that the Iranians are looking for a way to disrupt the Olympics. And they say that it's politics, but, you know, back in 2002, the Olympic Committee tried to prevent the United States at the Winter Games in Salt Lake City from using a flag from the World Trade Center, and this was only a few months later, in February, as our official flag. But it was just a funny note. It was Mitt Romney who had a three-hour meeting with the same president of the Olympic Committee and negotiated him off that position. So I say send Mitt in for the minute of silence. He'll get it done.
Yeah, probably will. You're probably right. All right. Syria has made an announcement today. They said that they wanted to clarify comments about weapons of mass destruction. They say they would only use them in the event of external aggression. So I guess we ought to be comforted by that.
Oh, yeah, that makes me feel better, you know, that they have these weapons. The terrorists might steal them in the chaos of a civil war that, you know, they might be loosed anyway. But like the Syrian government that can't even control its own country is giving us pledges. That's great to know. Great to know they have WMDs, too.
Yeah. And, of course, Barack Obama warned against them using that, saying it would be a tragic mistake. So that ought to keep them from doing it.
Oh, yeah, you know, if they do it, I'll bet Hillary Clinton will issue a stern letter to them.
And the UN will get involved.
Yeah, they'll issue a letter, too. You know, it'll contain hard language.
Oh, man. All right, I want to get into something that has really generated a lot of news today, and that is the comment from Dianne Feinstein, the chair of the Senate Intelligence Committee. in dealing with the White House and these leaks. She really has pointed her finger right at the White House, despite the fact that the president said back on June 8th that he was deeply offended that anyone would think that someone in his White House would leak information. But it sure looks that way.
Well, yes, and you know, this is a case of one of the most liberal senators in the Senate making the charge. It's not like if, you know, a conservative Republican was doing it. This is a liberal Democrat, so people really have to pay close attention to this. And if it's being done to the extent where, you know, a liberal Democrat from California is excised about it, it means that it's really bad.
Mm-hmm. And today, Romney, speaking with the VFW, the same folks that Obama spoke with yesterday, really went after the administration on it. And, I got a funny feeling that that Obama and company are going to have to deal with this sooner than later.
Well, it's definitely worth looking into. If somebody can find a smoking gun on this before the election, I think it could have a big impact. And the White House keeps saying that nobody in the White House had anything to do with it. But even the journalists who made the reports, you know, obviously they're not giving up their sources, but they have said that, yes, there were sources inside the White House that gave them information. So somebody better get their story straight.
Yeah. I want to jump ahead to Michelle Bachmann. She got herself in a bit of a sling over the past couple of weeks in accusing two prominent Muslims of being tied to the Muslim Brotherhood. How is this going to affect her in the long run? I mean, does she pay the price for this, or is she on target?
I don't think it's going to affect her at all, because the people who support her and her behind her, they know where she's coming from, and I really don't think that it's going to affect her. Whether the people that she was accusing of having ties, whether that means anything, remains to be seen. I mean, it's one thing to have relatives who are involved with a radical group, and another thing if you're involved with it. I think that probably she should have waited to have a little bit of a closer connection to actual policies or things that were being done before making charges like that. But I don't think it's going to have a negative impact on her.
Mm-hmm. All right, my friend. Well, great to talk to you again, as it always is, and we'll do it next Tuesday. Thank you very much, Jim.
Thanks, Annie.
Jim Robbins, the Robbins Report here at the Washington Times. Jim is a senior editorial writer. It's 3:57, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT.